you look it up on the schedule, you will see that it says my dad is supposed to have a lesson tonight, so sorry you're stuck with me. Last week, one of my friends texted me and asked, and he said that I don't really know the situation. I think his cousin, for some reason, somehow she is involved with the Texas Tech football team. I think she's like an athletic trainer or something. And so basically, my friend's cousin had gotten us 10 free tickets to the Texas Tech game last Saturday, and they were playing Stephen F. Austin, and neither team's very good, so it actually ended up being a good game because both teams were kind of bad. But anyways, so I ended up getting to have an opportunity to go to Texas Tech to watch the game. And as they like to do, Academy had also scheduled me to work Saturday and Sunday. And so I texted Dad and asked him if I could trade because I didn't know if I would be able to get off work, and I wanted to go to this game because it would be a cool opportunity. And I was only able to get off that Saturday, so I went to the game, and then after the game, I had to drive back, and it was not a fun drive back after the game was over. But anyways, I want to thank Dad because even though I was still there on Sunday, he was still able to pick up that lesson because I had not prepared for that. But I just want to thank Dad before we get started. So tonight, for our creation slide, I wanted to talk about what I think is an interesting planet in our solar system. And so, obviously, we all know that that is Saturn. And Saturn is the sixth planet from our sun in the solar system. And I looked this up on NASA's website, and it just gave me some interesting facts about Saturn. So, if you were to line up Earths next to each other, so if you were to line up, like, say you're setting a ball, and then a ball, and a ball, and just touching the ends of those balls together, it would take 9 Earths to equal the diameter of Saturn. So going across the planet would be 9 Earths. Stagnant is its 7 rings. And so these rings are made from rock and from dust, and they surround this planet. And to me, Saturn has always been interesting because of these rings. And a funny story, and it was actually what was my inspiration for this creation slide, is something I learned at the Texas Tech game. I did not know this, but apparently it is a tradition at Texas Tech home games to throw tortillas on the field anytime there's a big play. So as we're standing in line, waiting to get our tickets in, when someone asked me if I wanted a tortilla, I was a little confused. But anyways, apparently when a big play happens, they make a touchdown, or like I think they threw on the very first kickoff of the game, or any interception, big play like that, people would throw tortillas on the field. And the cool part about it is, you know, you would see tortillas flying throughout the game, but the ones that always flew the farthest, they would take a bite out of the center. And so it would basically look like a donut. It would have that circle shape with a hole in the middle, and they would kind of fling it like a frisbee. I mean, I wasn't like super close. I would say we were probably 20, 25 rows away from the field. There's people 20 rows back behind me, and they're throwing them onto the field. I mean, they're just launching some tortillas. It was kind of interesting to see. But all the ones that flew super far had that donut shape. And so that's where my inspiration came was for this creation slide, was it reminded me of Saturn's rings. I know it's a little weird correlation, but it just reminded me of that. Anyways, tonight we're going to go a little opposite of what Dad talked about on Sunday. If you were here, you know that Dad, on both lessons, he talked about verses in the Bible that scared him, verses that were very dark and had a dark meaning behind them. And so tonight, I thought we could go on the opposite side of that, and I thought we could look at some verses that should encourage us and bring us hope. But, however, before we go any further, we have the opportunity to go to God and worship Him. Tonight, I picked 3 verses that I thought we could go over and that I think that should encourage us and give us hope. And so, if you want to just kind of have these bookmarked, the verses take place in John 16, Psalms 34, and then Proverbs 3. So those are where our 3 verses will take place tonight. So our first verse takes place in John 16. And our verse is, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so anytime I hear this verse or hear this phrase, I think of all the battles in the Bible that were won because of God. And so for me, the most memorable being the Battle of Jericho, because that's always the cool story. And so it's a long read. It takes place in Joshua 6. But I want to go over, read that story in the Battle of Jericho. And so if you want to flip to Joshua chapter 6, we can read about the Battle of Jericho. So it is a long read, so I have it broken up into lots of different parts. But anyways, the Battle of Jericho, it reads, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him.'" So, continuing in verses 6. "Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns, before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, Proceed, and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord.'" Verse 8. "So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns, before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while the priest continued blowing the trumpets." Now, continuing verse 10. "Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, Shout, then you all shall shout.' So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to camp. So they did this 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent them.'" Continuing in verse 18, it says, "And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take up the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, all vessels of bronze and iron, are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, on the edge of the sword." And so now, after reading the story of the Battle of Jericho in Joshua 6, if you want to flip back to John 16:33, that was our first verse that was encouraging. I want to focus on the part where it says that we will all have tribulation in our lives. This world is an evil place, and lots of terrible, horrible things happen in this world. And, bad things happen to everyone. If you've ever heard the saying, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" I hate that saying. I don't like that saying, because bad things happen to everyone. On the flip side, good things happen to everyone. Good things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people, too. That's how life goes. So when someone says, "Why do bad things only happen to good people?" That's not really true. They happen to everyone. And so, even as bad things will happen to everyone, God tells us to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. As he said in verse 33, "Thanks to God and for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, we have the opportunity to one day not have to care about these worldly tribulations." And so, hopefully one day we won't have to care about the worldly tribulations. If we do what we know is right, if we do what God tells us to do. And I just think it's always a cool story when you go back and look at the verse John 16 and 33. It says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." And so, in the story of the Battle of Jericho, every man and woman, child, any person who was there trying to get into the city of Jericho, they were faced with a huge tribulation. I mean, they had a massive wall protecting the city. And honestly, if someone told me the only thing I had to do was march around the city and then blow my trumpets and then shout and then the wall would come tumbling down, I mean, I would have kind of been in disbelief. But these people, the Israelites that were trying to get into the battle, into the city of Jericho, they did not worry about that worldly tribulation. They trusted God, and it turned out well for them, obviously. And so that's something that is very encouraging to us, because we just need to not worry so much about worldly tribulations, but let God handle things. And so, moving on to our second verse. Our second verse is in Psalms 34, and it's verses 4 and 5, and then we're going to skip down to verse 8. So, Psalms 34, verses 4 and 5. So it reads, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed." And then, skipping down to verse 8, it says, "O taste, and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And throughout my previous lessons, I believe this is my fourth lesson that I've given, they've all had a very similar concept, a very similar theme, and that is basically, when you're on God's side, God is going to be with you. Do right with God, and he will be back with you. So when you go against God, it's not going to be very good for you. So in saying that, that's exactly what this verse is saying. It is saying, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." I went to the Lord. I had questions. I went to the Lord, and he delivered me from there. He helped me answer those questions. And then when it says they looked to him and were radiant, their faces were not ashamed. They were proud to have known God, proud to have worshipped God. And then skipping down to verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts him." That's very straightforward to me. I'm a very linear thinker, not creative, not to the box at any way. But when I read that verse, "Blessed is the man who trusts in him," that is very straightforward and easy to understand for me. And so if you truly seek the Lord, he will find you. And if you're doing it for the right reasons, I mean, the Lord God will find you. And so that was a little short one. But finally, our last verse is in Proverbs chapter 3. And so if you want to flip to Proverbs chapter 3, we'll read verses 5 through 6. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it's a verse we've all heard before. It's a very well-known verse. And so it reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." And this is a good one to hear for everyone, especially us younger people, because as a new college student, I'm learning many different things in my classes. And one thing that I thought was interesting was in one of my textbooks, they called it the 80-20 rule. They said, in high school, all the information you need to learn, 80% of it you will be taught in class, and the other 20% you will have to learn outside of class by studying. They said in college, it's flip-flopped. In class, you will learn about 20% of what you need to know, and then 80% of what you need to know is you will learn outside of class by studying. And so, trying to learn and get through my classes, I've learned that. I've learned stuff in class, and I've also learned stuff by teaching myself outside of class. And not only have I learned those things, but I've also learned that sometimes I physically cannot teach myself some of these things. They're way too complicated, way too complex. Sometimes I just don't have the ability to learn these things. And so, when hearing this verse where it says, "Lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." Some things we just physically cannot understand. We never will be able to understand. And so, hearing that verse that says, you don't really have to learn everything on your own. You can trust in God. Because there are things in this world that about God and Jesus Christ that we will never know, just because our brains cannot physically comprehend it. Anytime I think of eternity, after death, the eternity, my mind just gets all mumble jumble, because it's a concept that our brain cannot physically understand. So we don't always have to worry about trying to learn everything, because we can trust in the Lord God. And so, if you do only trust in your own understanding. If you don't trust in God, it's a very poor decision that will not end well for you. And so that is why we need to trust God in everything we do. And as I said before, I mean, I think all of my lessons have a very similar theme to them. Trust in God, do what He says, and things will work out well for you. And so if you were to sit down and look at every verse in the Bible, I actually looked it up. It said, I don't know the exact number, I think it was 31,506 verses in the Bible, I believe is what it said. But if you were to sit down, like as Dad talked about on Sunday, there are lots of verses that have a dark, disturbing story behind them. There are verses that scare us. But there are also lots of verses that are encouraging and should give us hope. And so I thought that this would just be a good change of pace from Sunday. You know, it was a little dark and gloomy on Sunday, and then we could brighten it up on Wednesday. But anyways, that's all I have for you tonight. It was a short lesson, but I hope something that was said was beneficial. And now we can go ahead and stand and sing.